little later than we normally do, but you know the inauguration happened today, so we wanted to give you guys the time to really enjoy that and watch everything that transpired earlier. So, once again, like I said, you guys, welcome to today's Power Call. I have my guest with me, Miss Barbie Liss. How are you doing today, ma'am? How are you?
For having me.
Oh, no problem, most definitely. So, Ms. Barbie, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, like I gave a little short description in the on the YouTube page talking how about you're an empowerment coach and a advocate for restorative justice, but you can go ahead and break down to us a little bit more who you are and, you know, what you do.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. So, yes, I am a maternal empowerment coach, which means I work with mothers primarily to help empower and reclaim themselves. Oftentimes, women along their path of being mom and nurturing everybody else completely forget about themselves and then result in feeling depleted and sometimes actually losing who you are when you're so busy nurturing everybody else. So that is what I offer to women, to mothers. And my journey there really began with my own personal journey, which began about 4 years ago when my daughter was raped, and the journey that we followed in a healing path, our healing journey, her healing journey, which launched me into a healing journey as the mom of a survivor. It's trauma to watch your child go through trauma. So that whole journey that we took was what launched me into what I do now. All the lessons that you learn down there at the bottom and all the questions about society and how we're living in a world that allows this kind of thing to happen. And that was my path that led me to want to share that forward. And then my daughter advocated for a restorative justice outcome. And our understanding is she's the first in North America to have a restorative justice outcome for a sexual assault. And that really, you know, in all our years of questioning society and how we got there and what healing should look like, a restorative justice outcome was the most healing, transformative, affirming moment or journey in my life, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I know we you know, discussed on the phone a little bit of each other's, you know, history and background and such. And I just really admire you for being that type of person. Because like you said, when you're going through or when your daughter's going through that, you're still having your own mentality and your own feelings about certain things, especially that whole ordeal right there is on molestation and rape. That's not always something that people are more forgiving for. So I want to commend you too, once again, just for stepping up and being the voice for that, because like I said, that's what really made me connect to you, you know, and knowing a little bit about my history and what happened to me being younger and not having that option or having that feelings and wanting that outcome, but not having everyone else around me agree with that and really understand why I'm trying to be, more forgiving and restorer. And, you know, rather than just jail, lock up, you know, break down, beat down. Like what do your mind in that, you know, beginning process? Like, I know there was a lot of back and forth with it and such.
Yeah, well, the actual restorative justice circle that we sat in was actually 3 years post-rape. So there was a lot of healing journey in that meantime. The first year was really when we were in the deep, dark thick of it. And there was a preliminary trial. And then when they said there was enough to go to trial, you know, we'd actually never heard of restorative justice, but she just kept saying to me, like, all I really want is for him to look me in the eye and explain how he could do that kind of thing to another human. Like, how does one human do that to another human? And she really just wanted, and, you know, in telling that to other people, eventually she came, she actually, like, somebody said to her, make it happen, and she actually put on Facebook one day, so this is what I want to do, does anybody have any thoughts? And that's what she found out about restorative justice. It was not an easy a road to get it allowed, because the court system here, the judicial system, was not for it at all. The interesting thing, like you said, that's what you wanted and people around you didn't understand, and what I've noticed is that it's the person who's been harmed who more often than not wants that kind of an outcome, and it's everybody else who gets their back all up going, no, he needs to be punished, you know. And it's, you know, her opinion was like, I'm the one harmed, like, listen to what I want. Mm. Right? So to me, I mean, I hear two things a lot. I hear, like, you know, did the punishment meet the crime, or, you know, how's that helping society, or how can you forgive him? And my answer to those is, you know, I don't forgive what he did. I'll never forgive what he did, but I forgive him, the human who had whatever story in his life led him to do something like that. And I think that that requires healing rather than punishing. Mm. You know, like, nobody is just born and then, you know, you're not born a rapist, you know. Like, mm-hmm. You're not, right? So whatever his story was, you know, in my heart, whoever is out there that has a story that's leading them that hurt people pattern, you know, like, let's heal it so that they can become someone better and offer something better. So he had to go through therapy. He had a whole process before we sat in circle, and now we have a human who's transformed into a better person, instead of like someone who just sits there for a few months and gets angrier and comes out with, you know, angry and with no opportunity in front of him or her. And it's just, you know, it doesn't change. Nothing changes. This way there's change. This is how we heal the world. Hopefully.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. I love that. I really do. Because like you said, it's just important. Like, the reason why I really did this live and asked for you to come on is because I really feel like you can touch the people and really help them realize that it's important that we forgive and that we seek a restoring ending for whatever the case may be. So even if it isn't rape or molestation, if it's just you not really connecting with family members as you know you could, or whatever the case is, you know, understanding that there could be more of a restoration side to it than just, oh, let me stop, oh, let me not talk about this, let me just leave this alone, you know. Yeah. Like, there is more to it.
I always compare it to make it tangible for people to, like, when I was a little kid and I did something wrong and I got sent to my room. You know, they'd say, like, your room and think about what you did. And I'd go to my room and I'd think about it from my perspective and I'd be more pissed off, right? Because I just sat in my own anger and then nothing changed, right? So when it was my own kids, I would rather, you know, I used to say to them, like, you know, I'd send them off to cool down, and then it was more of a conversation, like, what happened, or, you know, what. So I'd rather make a moment that we've always looked at, like, we've grown up in a world that's like an eye for an eye, or revenge is the answer and punishment is it. And I'm thinking, you have a moment right now that, instead of punishing, it could be a teachable moment. You know, you could teach a lesson and have the person who caused harm actually go, oh, maybe there's a better option for me. And then, you know, break that pattern of hurt people, you know, changing people and giving them a better opportunity and an opportunity to voice on both sides, actually, right? Like, for me, I had a lot I wanted to say to him, and for my daughter, she had a lot she wanted to say to him. But even for him, now he's gone through therapy, and, you know, you think about it, when you've ever harmed somebody, even with a word, you know, minimally, and you don't have a chance to apologize, doesn't feel good, you know. Having opportunity to share story and voice and take accountability and offer remorse and compassion and empathy, and these are things that lead to healing and change. It leads to change.
Yes ma'am. That's one thing you definitely just said now about hurt people and breaking that pattern, you know. Oftentimes, even when I went through my whole therapy and things with the, just rehearsing it, not rehearsing, but talking it over with the detectives and such, realizing that it was a pattern for him, you know, this was something that was done to him as a child. And that was just all that sometimes people really know is just this pattern. And that's something that we have to be cognizant of. Like I said, not even just on that subject matter, but just in the broad perspective, that there's patterns out there that people are following behind, and we're not always aware of it. And there has to be times where, you know, you come to that awakening and you come to that moment where you're like, okay, this is, you know, destructive, or this is not good, you know, how can I change this? How can I better myself? You know, like, understanding the changing those patterns, and like you said, hurt people, but we got to change that.
And we can make it more, you know, people think of it like, you know, in her case, I mean, rape is pretty extreme, so mm-hmm. It's an extreme example, but it comes back to all of us in every single way. And when I work with women, like when I do my coaching with my ladies, it's the same. It's like messages and patterns in their own lives, whatever it was, that's led them to me, mm-hmm. that we're undoing and we're offering a different perspective and a different, you know, and it's unlearning and relearning. And that goes for whether you're the rapist or the person who just needs to heal their own wounds, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that, I think that everybody deserves the opportunity for transformation. And I think that not only on an individual level, but think of how society could look instead of continuing that cycle of locking people up who, it's not helping. It's nothing's changing. Punishment isn't changing anything. It's just stirring the pot, but it's not changing anything. Healing the person from whatever story they had is actually how we're going to see a change. And I can tell you, like, that was the most healing experience of my life.
So, you know, I don't want to hold you too long, but I do want to ask, what would you say to whoever's listening right now, who perhaps is going through this but hasn't said anything, and maybe they feel that way, they want to have the restorative justice, but they just don't know how to properly, they don't know who's going to, you know, how their parents are going to feel, or whoever they're hearing. How would you talk to them? Like, what would you say to them in this time?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I know, like, it's a little different. I'm in Canada and you're in the States.
Yeah.
And I know here it's actually in our Bill of Rights, but nobody knows that. And mm-hmm. even like the court system doesn't seem to act on that. So, mm-hmm. but I know there are, I would say like feel into the story of the person and not just on the action that they did. So you can break forgiveness into pieces and all of the things can be true. I don't forgive what he did. I can't. That was horrible.
Yeah.
And we had and it was, you know, changed everything. But I can forgive his story and I can hold compassion to him as a human and hope him healing and hope him better. And like, if we look at each other as the human souls that we are and not just, you know, jump to old patterns of judgment and punishment, maybe we can do better. Right. And if you're looking for restorative justice, if you Google it, there are places in your area that offer that kind of system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you got it, folks. I'm so excited. Thank you, Miss Barbie, for coming on. I didn't want to be too long and waste your time or anything, but I'm so grateful that you were able to come on. Just one more thing for the women out here. I want to do something special for the women. We know right now we got over the holiday hump. But, you know, we're walking into the whole Valentine's and such. If you would like to switch hats for the empowerment side of you, what would you say to women right now? As far as just their standpoints, their mentalities, their mindsets, something that could help them really, you know, carry through in the beginning of the year.
I think first and foremost, the biggest love you need to have ever is the one for yourself. And you're going to spend a lot of time with you. So you need to have, that's the relationship you've got to cultivate the biggest and love yourself fully. And when you're whole for yourself, then you're ready to offer to somebody else. But it doesn't matter if you're with somebody or not with somebody, you need to be happy being by yourself and fulfilled and empowered because you matter and you're deserving of everything you want to have and your voice matters and honor you, always honor you.
How can people honor themselves? Like how can you honor you, you know?
Women are very, well, I'm sure not just women, but I work with women. So women are very, well, we've been taught, women have been taught forever to be, take the submissive role, to step back and let the man be the superior, and like let the boy win. And you know, and it's not the case. Your voice has power and your voice matters, and you don't need to put your own needs aside. You have, you know, boundaries are a challenging one for a lot of people, and it's okay to put up a boundary, but from a place of love. You know, you can put up that boundary, say, I cannot do this, but, you know, I love you, but I can't do this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, honoring yourself enough to honor your own needs and know that what you feel you desire, you deserve to have.
Yeah, that's so true, because people, they feel like if they're not honoring themselves, if they're being, if they're telling others no, you know, people, they think, oh, if I tell you no, that means I'm a bad person. But yeah, you got to recognize that, no, you're honoring yourself, and you know, it would be a lot better if you said no to a lot of things in life instead of saying yes, you know.
Yes, and it's better, it's actually like, you know, I've said this in my groups, but it's better, even when you're receiving the no, it feels better to receive an authentic no from a place of love than to receive a yes that feels really uncomfortable, you know, because you know the person didn't want to say yes, but they did say yes, and that doesn't feel good either. So honoring your own yes and your own no, and standing firm in that, but from a place of love, you know, not from an angry, you know, but setting your own boundaries and holding to them, and honoring, knowing that what your needs and desires are worthy of having.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not selfish. Self-care and looking out for you is the opposite of selfish, because at the end of the day, everybody else benefits by your stepping into your power.
Exactly. That's the knowledge that people don't recognize.
Yeah.
I could be a lot healthier and a lot better to others when I take care of myself.
Moms are told always, if you're going to take some time for you, you're being selfish, mm-hmm. right? You're not selfish. If you're depleted and you're falling apart, you are of no value to your children. But if you've taken a few minutes to refuel yourself and you come back like happy and fulfilled and no longer depleted, now you're benefiting your family. So it's the opposite of selfish. You're everyone when you take care of you first.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. I'm definitely going to have you back on again another time.
We can
talk
you.
About this more and more.
That.
I'm loving this energy and the way we're talking. Things are just flowing. It's good. So you folks, go ahead, if you haven't, if you're catching this replay or whatnot, go ahead and subscribe, get plugged in. Miss Barbie, do you mind, you know, telling the people your information, how they can get connected to you if they want to learn
for
more?
For sure. Thank you. Yes, I am on Instagram. It's _BarbieLiss. And you can email me. It's Barbie@BarbieLiss.com. And I'm on Facebook as well. Same name. Yeah,
you guys, you heard it. Barbie Liss, LISS, you guys. All right, thanks for tuning in to Muggle Talks Podcast. I'm here with Ms. Barbie List, and we've just talked to you about navigating life's challenges. You guys take care and have a great day, all right? Thanks, Ms. Barbie.
Thank you.